I was just talking about the devotion to God and to the Master. You see, true worship lies in the fact that man must be true to the words of the Master, the God speaking through him. What he says in the Bible, in the Veda, in the Grantha, in the Quran. Take it as Bible truth, you see, and act on it. By simply paying obeisance outside, that won't help you. Unless you pay obeisance to the words of the commandments given by the Master, the God in him. Right? Many people come to this system. What for? Only to have personal interest in that. Name and fame, I am the biggest worker in the satsang. Just having control of the vice, where people just look to my beck and call, like that. He wants to just to perceive the Master too. He said the Master work is going on only through us, but for us. Such like attitude, these people go on so long as their interests are served, they'll go on. When their interests are marred somehow or other, directly or indirectly, they will go against the Master openly. Such instances have been always in the times of the Master too. Even Judas was played against Christ. He didn't. It was you crucified him. Even in all sessions, people come of different tastes. I am telling you, those who come with two hearts, really for devotion to God, they will have God. But if they come with some purpose in view, maybe name and fame, maybe some lucrative point of view, you see, maybe for some purpose here and there, well, such like people cannot derive the full benefit of coming to the Mart. You see, those very people who were become the, I mean, commanders of the system. Those very people, when their interests are not served, they go against the Master. People say, what is all that? You are the most devoted man. When you are not devoted to the Master, you are devoted to his personal interests. Leave your home for the sake of God, all through the way. Don't think of anything else when you reach the place. Don't think of who has come or who has not come. Only you and between you and the Master, there should be no one, nobody else. We strike friendships within the way, and they can tell them that, well, this is the way to love God. Well, look here, love God. Love does not mean sexual love. No, let me be very frank, you see. They begin to love physically, the result is their time between the Master and the man concerned. This is all. I have been very explaining these things openly. Nowhere you'll find like that. But still with that, this disease goes on. People, you must be true to your own self. The God is within you. The Master is within you. If you are true to him, you have to fear none. But for the sake of interest, selfish motives, people come for name or fame or some other lucrative point of view. When those purposes are served, you are very devotee, I am the servant of servants and this and that. When that is little satisfied, then those very people proclaim openly, oh, such and such we have seen the Master. So this is the point discussed here, you see. When you come to the Master, heart is one. You can give heart to one, not to hundreds, you see. If you give to God, then love all God for the sake of God. All of you. Not for the... We love people and forget God, not for them. In that way, nobody will stand between you and the Master. You will have full benefit, you derive full benefit of coming to the Master. You follow me? This is the point discussed here. Simply read two lines and ponder over what is in there and put it in practice. You may be doing so many things in your brain, but you don't act even on one word of that. Then what to do? There's a story that five Pandavas, brothers, went to their guru. The first day lesson was, we speak the truth. Go and remember these. They all left. The second day, the four brothers came up and the Yudhishthira did not come up. Third day, fourth day, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days passed. All were coming, but Yudhishthira did not turn up. Those four brothers told the Guru, look here, that is very simple. You said, speak the truth, we have remembered these very words, the very moment you uttered it. But very strange how bad, I would say, such like you. They say he had not been able to remember these few words, speak the truth. Then he came up after some days and said, Master, I have remembered. And he never spoke lie all through life. Such like attitude will make you perfect. You know so many things, you don't put it into practice, even one of them, then what will you do? If you want to derive the full benefit of attaining, being at the feet of your master, or by joining any school of thought, if you don't obey the commandments of your master, how can you proceed further? Student comes, master gives you a lesson, and the student does not remember that lesson what is given, then he does not care to proceed. How far can he proceed further? Master gives some lesson, he memorizes it, then again comes, the master gives furthermore. He does not even remember the very first lesson, then how can he proceed? Then you come here like a business, like I tell you, very safe, only paying obeisance, telling only humility outer way, that won't help you, mind that. If you love me, Christ said, keep my commandments. So, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Then So, you people come here with all due deference. Why you waste your time? You come here for some higher purpose. Make the use of this, best use of this. Only for wishy-washy way you come here, pay a visit like a custom, when you change your thing, that won't give you anything. So this is what is explained here. This book, you see, is gems, I would say. These points have been discussed in detail. This has gone through me with the grace of my God Guru, you see. And every detail has been discussed here, with His grace. And those people who go into the depths of the thing, they know what is what. Start one thing from today. Well, speak the truth. Come after a month, I'll be back. If you start one thing, all other things will fall. Don't harm anybody in mind, thought, word and thought. You remember it then, your mind will be clear. As the chastity, thought, word and deed, then radiation is your right. So, if you love God, and God is in every body, the temple of God resides in every heart, if you love God, you will naturally love all others in whom He resides. Then, whom you are going to deceive, perhaps. We know mentally certain things. Our brain is full of libraries of these things, but not a single point is digested and put into life. That is why there is no change. You have been keeping diaries for how long? Most of you do not keep. Most of you. I think I'm afraid in the West, I've got about 80% people keeping diaries. Here I think even 5% won't keep diaries. You follow us? Keep diaries, be very, very hard task master, watch your life. Stick to it. I tell you, just digest one thing. Then put in daily time to your practices. And 2.5 hours. How many there will put in daily? You sit, only then mind will attract. You got very perfect way. You got something to start daily at the very initiation. Somebody asked, Yogi and others, So how long will it take to have light with it? At least 5 years penance it will give you light. You get very first day. How fortunate you are. And with all that you don't keep up to it. You don't maintain it. Those are maintaining quite appreciable. I'm talking to all of you, those who don't care. I would rather have only one or two men coming here rather than 100 here. Don't wait. I love you, man, with all your imperfections. And husband assured me, as Gandhi said, as husband loves his wife with all his drawbacks, his infirmities. He said, I love Congress with all these shortcomings. I love you all with all your shortcomings. Why? Because you are sons of God. You see, God resides with you. I wish you come direct. You got the man body, make the best use of the man body you have got. You see? Only for that reason. Sometimes you pay more attention to one, they say, oh, that attention is only to bring you up. And that is also according to the commandment of my master. You see what interest I am got. If you don't come up to the standard, you are taught daily. Then what is it? These things have put before you so many times. I tell you very plainly, if you don't live up to what you are told, you cannot progress. Initiation helps you, of course, in your love for the Master, love for the light within you, you live up to it. If not, you don't care, you keep, take the medicine and put it in the shelf and don't use it, then please, you will have to come back again. Of course, not below man body. But what is the use of coming back? You have got the man body now. Why can't you make the best use of the things you have got? Your soul touches this, God into pervading, into expression power, all sensually wise. You are not to return. And much of the time of earthly life has passed already. Where we stand? Please do live up to what you are here. You come here. You come here for your own purposes and don't live up to what you are told, and you are deceiving all others too. I tell you, you don't deceive you, but all others. Oh, this man is going to such and his life is such and his life is such and such. See? People point their fingers to you. Such a low man, why? What is satsang teaching? You defame the satsang. You become the source of deception to others. Is it all this taught by the satsang here? Come to senses, please. This is all what I just said. आप यहाँ नहीं आने का क्या फायदा? आप भी उस बात को नहीं फायदा था जो तुमको देखते जाते हो, तुम्हारे जीवन वैसे ही गंदा होकर से सत्संग नहीं आता. लोगों के धोखा बने somebody will come up. तो भाई साहब आते हो तो लिव अप टू व्हाट यू आर टोल्ड. लव फॉर गॉड, लव फॉर एवरीबॉडी, जस्ट टेक वन बाय वन एंड पुट इट इन योर लाइफ प्रैक्टिस. And you'll change. Anybody who sees you, you run up here and come with the only purpose of knowing God. They know the subject taught here, no agriculture, no engineering, medicine, or nothing of the sort. Only how to contact with God. That's the school for that purpose. It is school of spirituality and nothing else. तो जिस काम के लिए आते हो वो काम यहां तुम्हारे आने का मतलब क्या? प्रभु को पाओ, यही है कि और कुछ? अगर यही है तो उससे पूरा फायदा उठाओ. सो दिस इज व्हाट आई टेल यू, यू सी दीज आर वेरी गोल्डन जेम्स यू गॉट हियर. थिंक ऑफ देम, मेक द पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ योर लाइफ अप टू यू गाइस. कम डाउन, यू चेंज. गॉड इज आफ्टर सच पीपल हु आर रियली ट्रूली वांट हिम. Why you should run after God? God will run after you to find out where He can work through the human soul. Baba Jaman Singh went out to find Baba Saman Singh in the Marigold from Bias. There are thousands and thousands of other people residing in Punjab. Why did you go there? You were just watching who is the Krishna in the world. All my ship find out, you see, it is not only giving only what you say. Your votes, you make some minister or make some president. No, not. It is a commission from God above. He is after the man, if you become man. So he is told, you see, in my mind is so clear with love of God, you see, nothing else is there. As limpid as Ganges water is limpid, you see. You see the very smallest sand. The particle of sand also you see from the water, so very limpid and clear. So my mind has become like that, he said, and God is running after me. Oh Kabir, wait, I'm after you, you see. Why should you be running after God? God is after point, so where's the man? We are beasts in men, I said. No, we are not men. Man is one who has love for God and love for all creation for the sake of God. All of us are beasts. That's all. We do acts of beasts and openly we, what do you say, we personate like godly men. The beast in you should be got out. And God is after such like people. He is after running, finding out where. No need whether he is black or white or east or west. That makes no difference. All is creation, you see. This is a very important thing to discuss, you see. What is given in this all scriptures, you see. This is digest. Concentration brings you. You can read anybody's mind, anything beyond all walls, you see. That's also a supernatural power which stands in the way. But unless you are dyed with the love of God, you see, contact God, then you are nowhere. In Vasukho, just remember, and act up to it. Not only remembrance, but act up to it. The more you act up to it, you will derive the full benefit of coming to the Master and also to have the man body. Now the subject was going on, you see, we are under great delusion. And what is that delusion we are, in which we are adrift, that we are the indweller of the man body. But we have identified with the body so much so that we have become as it were is the body itself. So this body has been given to us through the grace of God to find your way back to God. Your conscious entity, the top of the ocean of all consciousness. With His grace you got this highest rung in creation, man body, the highest rung in creation, in which you can go back to your true home of Father. But we are under a grand delusion. Why? For two reasons. This body is made of matter, and the whole world is made of matter. Matter is changing. Every minute at the same speed has our body changing because we have identified ourselves with the man body. When two things are changing at the same speed and we are identified with that thing, all this appears to be stationary, not changing. That is a grand delusion. Suppose you are some men are rowing in a boat. And the boat is going that way where the water of the river is flowing, you see, the same way. You are identified with the boat. The speed of the boat and the water of the river is the same. When you are there, you appear to be stationary. So how to be out of this delusion? Body is changing, you see.
And also the world is made of matter, that is also changing. There are two ways to be out of this delusion. One, foresight. When a man is sitting in the boat, let him see to the corners of the river, the shores of it. You will find that you are going down the stream. Or the best way is to be out of the boat. You will see every boat in the room now. So master's advice, oh man, you are under a grand delusion, whether you are learned or unlearned, you see rich or poor, you must be out of this delusion to enable you to see the world in its right perspective. So there are two ways. First one is taken by foresight. And the effective way there is go down, sit in a graveyard, or in a place where the dead bodies are burnt, you see. There you feel some are coming, the other, some are carrying the dead bodies on their shoulders and they put underground or put, consign it to flames, then go back. But so much we are forgotten ourselves, we see with our own eyes. We carry the dead bodies on our own shoulders, but we are not convinced that we have to leave the body. How grand delusion it is. So one way is like that. And the other way is just to be out of the body. And just as you would be out of the boat, you will see boat is rolling down, everybody is rolling, water is flowing down. And the man who are identified with the boat, they are also flowing down. So for that the master said, you must learn how to leave the body. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. You must rise above body consciousness. Then you will see everything in its right perfect. This is the state of our body which you are carrying. And what about all relatives? They have been just brought together as a reaction of our past karma, you see, give and take. When that is finished, everybody has to leave, take his own way. So this body won't remain here, all along with us. Nor all others who have come together as a reaction of the past. They will also leave us, or we will leave them. Along with that, all other possessions are going to be left here. This very body, who is the first companion we have got when we come to the earth, on birth, when that leaves us, how all other things which have come only in connection with the body, how can they go along with us? That is why Christ said, lay by prayers. In the other way, these ants won't eat. This place, earth or man body, is not the place to live forever. We have to leave someday, all, sooner or later. We are very great philosophers did come to the world. Very masters came to the world. They had man body, they left it. No exception to the rule. So unless we have got the right perspective, right view, we cannot see things as they are. Truly. Master say, oh, look, you have to leave the world, these things will remain here, you will go empty-handed. Then our heart don't, are not convinced to see the things in their right color. You see, there are only two ways. One, with foresight, just a man rowing down in the boat feet to the corners of the river. Or the other way is to leave the boat and come out. So this is a grand illusion in which we are all going down. If we just these things are brought home, you see, then every angle of vision will change. Why will you molest us? Why will you squeeze blood of others? Why will you torment other people? Never. They have got the same man body as we have got. They are the same, I mean the sense of it, as a form like us, top of the ocean, the whole consciousness, and the same controlling for keeping everyone else in the body. So highest aim is to know, to rise into God consciousness, you see. And that will come only when you know yourself, who you are. You are not the man body. You are dwelling in the man body, the highest in all rung in all creation. So we have to make the best use of it, how to be out of it. For that purpose, Master always advised, rise above body consciousness, learn to die so that you may begin to live. You learn right. Spectacle to go see through. Everything appears in the right perspective. So that is why all must know thyself. We are bearing, of course, the labels of different schools of thought in which we have joined only to realize this truth. When you realize only then your attachments will be cut out, you see. When you know you have to go, you have to leave. Far as you people have come from America, for how many days? A month, two or three or six? You know you have to go back. Although you are here, enjoying, still you think you have to go back. If you just have that inner vision, by rising above body consciousness, you will always be conscious knowing this is not our home. The home of the soul is the home of our Father. Fortunate we have got the man body, in which we can go back to the home of our true Father. And in no other lower classes of creation, you see, their only reaction, they are coming to reap what they have acted before, reap the fruit of that. In man body we have also got this as a reaction of the past, but here we are free also within certain limits to direct ourselves, put them on the right way back to God, that's all. And everything will start when you rise above body consciousness. You learn how to lead the body at will. Then whole and of you will be changed. This is how you can be out of this grand illusion we are all in. When you know you are not the man body, you have got the man body, you are conscious entity, you have got the man body, you have got the intellect, but you are yourself conscious being. And you have been just given this man body, and by the grace of God, to enable you to go back to your home. It does not mean anyhow to leave the world and go to the forest, you see, but remain here, pay off your debts, gives and takes, you see, and find your way back to God. All these relations, you see, they are brought together only as reaction of the past, to pay off their debts, you see, pay them off with love. Just be not deluded. As we are now, we think perhaps this is the only place, this we will live here forever, but nobody has lived here forever. This is a golden opportunity we have got to find our way back to God. So for that very purpose we have done various schools of thought. The badges we are carrying only relate to your body, but you have got the man body. These are labels put on the man body. You are conscious entity. Your true home is not this. Your true home is one which is all consciousness. So, to find way back to God, the first lesson is that you are under a grand delusion. You must come out of that.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was made from two morning talks, Obedience to the Master, from January 12, 1968, and Learn to Die, recorded on November 1, 1967. Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello, David. And hello to everyone. I am going to finish reading Guru Nanak and his teachings, a biographical study by Kirpal Singh, and then I will read stanzas 34 to 38 in the Japji. His disciples came from far-off places like Baluchistan, Afghanistan, and Central Asia, and included, among others, the Brahmins and the Sufis, the high-caste Kshatriyas, and the low-caste Chandalas, the Siddhas and the Naths. Thus, his following was a conglomeration of all sorts of people, knit together in the bonds of loving devotion to the holy cause, and vying with each other in the labor of love for the fallen and the downtrodden. Nanak, their spiritual father, now advanced in age, moved on foot every day, laboring in the farms and singing hymns of Nam and breathing the benediction of love. The Guru was a picture of humility, and his followers, in a spirit of dedication, worked as humble servants of the Lord, worshiping God without any pomp and show, in the stillness of nature. From Kartarpur spread the fire of the love of God and love of man all over the Punjab. Guru Nanak's face shone with the simplicity and serenity born of the saintliness in him. He was a laborer, a tiller of the soil, a servant of the poor and lowly. The life at Kartarpur was a blend of willing work and worship, love and labor, silence and song. On being asked by his father as to what was real farming, Nanak replied, "The body is the field, the mind is the plowshare, and modesty is the life-giving water for the field. I sow the seed of the divine name in the field of the body, leveled and furrowed by contentment, after pulverizing the encrusted clods of pride into true humility. In a soil prepared like this, the seed of love will prosper, and seated in the abode of truth, I behold the glory of God in the rich harvest before me. O Father, mammon accompanies no man. The world is just deluded by the glamour of riches. It is just a few who escape the delusion with the aid of discriminating wisdom." Guru Nanak had a deep-rooted penchant for silence. He frequently merged himself in the silence of God, the Sat Nam, the Eternal Word, in the silence of nature, the silence that shines in the starry sky and dwells in the lonely hillside and murmurs in the flowing waters, and in the silence of Sangat Sewa, or unostentatious service of the community of the faithful, and of the Sewaks, or servers alike, who stayed with the Guru, and whom he always addressed as bhais, or brothers. The way of life. He prescribed a methodology for achieving success in life. Absorbed in the Lord of Love, the disciple grows in the Sewa of Sad Sangat, the selfless and loving service of all. In such supreme and selfless service, many Akota Rakshash and Sajan Thug were redeemed during his ministry. He exhorted the people to earn their living through honest and fair means. This was a rule not for disciples and the laity only, but even for real teachers and preachers. He went to the length of saying, "Bow not unto him who, claiming to be a God-man, lives on the charity of others. He who earns his living with the sweat of his brow and shares it with all can know the way to God. That which belongs to another is not to be wished and craved for, much less grabbed, for it is as odious and noxious as pork is to a Muslim and beef to a Hindu." He forbade people from encroaching upon the rights of others. Those who thrive on ill-gotten gains can never have a pure heart. Time and again he stressed the purity of heart through virtuous deeds performed in the love of the Lord. It is only the deeds that count and not the religious hallmarks that one may bear. The chanting of the name of the Lord was a necessity, but with a pure heart and a clean tongue. For without these, all our prayers, however loud and long, would never bear any fruit. It is the deeds alone that are weighed in the divine scales and determines one's place in relation to God. It is with the alchemy of God's love that one can transform hardened criminals into men of piety. Nanak never advocated ostentatious renunciation as a means of God realization. He taught that salvation was possible for a householder, as for any other person, through proper rendering of his duties and obligations with faith in God. He believed in the efficacy of prayers not only for all mankind, but for animals, birds, and all other creatures. He himself always prayed for peace unto all the world under the divine will. Nanak emphasized developing the life of the spirit for all true men and women. Such persons live not for themselves alone, but for others. To live for others is the highest norm. He alone lives who lives for others. He defined a truly great man as one who renounced all his desires and cared not for the fruits of his actions. The seeker after God was enjoined to cultivate purity of heart above anything else. He who is so much identified with the body and is engrossed head and ears in the lusts of the flesh could never be picked up by the Lord as his own. He who blesses others is blessed in return. A seeker after happiness must make others happy. The Guru stressed the need of prayer. Where all human efforts fail, there prayer succeeds. Sit in silence each day and pray to God, or God manifested in man, to draw you nearer to Him from day to day, and grant you the company of those who are dear to Him. Last days. The day came when Nanak was about to depart. In humility and love, Nanak bowed to his devoted disciple Angad, who had by now become a very part of his being, as the name indicates. The latter was one in spirit with his master, and the two were blended together in him. The Guru then asked for his blessings, and he sang a song of vijay, or victory, at the hour of his departure, asking all who were around him to join him in the chorus. Sing, my comrades, sing ye all. Sing now my wedding song. Sing the song of his praise. May I be a sacrifice to him, the beloved. The blessed day has dawned. The hour of consummation draws nigh. Come, my comrades, come, and consecrate me with your blessings. Behold, the bride uniting with the bridegroom. Many of the disciples shed bitter tears of sorrow and grief. With deep agony in their hearts, they inquired, "Leaving us, you go. What rites should we perform? Shall we light the customary earthen lamp when you depart? Should we cast your ashes and charred bones in the sacred waters of the Ganges, according to the prevailing custom?" To all these queries, the Guru characteristically replied, "Yes, light the lamp of the name of God. Let my funeral rites be the remembrance of the name of God. Know that He, the Lord above, is my support here and in the hereafter. Sing the name of God. That shall be my Ganga and my Kashi. Let my soul bathe in the water of His name. For that alone is the true bath. And offer unto me the grace of God, and sing the glory of God night and day." The Hindu disciples asked, "Shall we cremate your body?" And the Muslim disciples, "Shall we bury your body?" The Guru replied, "Quarrel not over my remains. Let Hindus and Muslims bring flowers and place them on each side of my body, and then let each do what they like. But see that the flowers remain fresh and green." The Guru was indifferent to ceremonial disposal of the body, either by cremation or burial. He only asked that the flowers should remain fresh and fragrant. What then were these flowers? The flowers of faith and love. It is in vain that the people look for the Guru in a tomb or on the cremation ground. The living Guru is ever in the hearts of those who keep the flowers of faith and love fresh and fragrant. He came for all. He lived for all. His teachings remain for all. He founded no new sect. He revered all religions. He respected the saints of all times and places. He taught no new creed. He preached love, faith, and noble deeds. For him, all the people were of God. In the Hindus and in the Muslims, he saw the vision of God in man. In all the nations of the world, he beheld an endless procession of the race of man. To all countries and to all people, he sang the song of Naam, or the Holy Word. Nanak was the prophet of peace and goodwill, harmony and unity. He was the prophet of light and gave light to all for 70 long years. His work of loving service to humankind as manifestation of the unmanifest was carried on vigorously by his successors, Guru Arjan, the fifth in the line of succession to Nanak, compiled the sayings of the gurus in the Holy Granth, the Bible of the Sikhs, including therein the sayings of several other saints of other religions as well, as could easily be collected for the purpose. Thus, in the Holy Book, he laid the foundation of a great banquet hall and offered therein choice and dainty dishes of divine wisdom coming down through the ages. This, in a way, serves as a model for the world fellowship of religions. Love knows no reward. It is a reward in itself. Service and sacrifice characterize love. The last two gurus, Guru Tegh Bahadur and Guru Gobind Singh, sacrificed their all in the service of mankind for the love of God. And next, I will go to the last stanzas in the Japji. Commentary. From here begins the final part of Japji. In it, Nanak gives a rapid survey of the various spiritual realms that the soul has to traverse in its homeward journey. They are five in number. Dharmkand, or the realm of action. Gyankand, or the realm of knowledge. Sarmkand, or the realm of ecstasy. Karmkand, or the realm of grace. Sachkand, or the realm of truth. The first is the realm of Dharm, which the soul must fully realize before it can rise to the next higher spiritual plane above it. This is the stage where the embodied souls must work, fully cognizant that it is He who made the world phenomena with all the immutable laws which bind one and all. The law of cause and effect nobody can escape. What a man sows, he must reap. There is none outside his domain. Men's actions go with them after their death and are weighed in the scales of God's justice. Those found wanting are sent for judgment according to their actions. The only thing acceptable at his court is communion with and practice of the divine word. Those who adhere to it are honored. Stanza 34. Creating the day and the night, the months and the seasons, the fire, the wind, the water, and the nether regions. Amidst all these, he set up the earth as Dharmkand, or the arena of action. And he peopled it with creatures of many colors and many forms, creatures of whom there is no count. All are judged according to their deeds, for true is the Lord, and immaculate his law. Those acceptable to him are honored in his court. And it is only through his grace that one may gain that distinction. The imperfect are perfected there. O Nanak, it is there that this mystery is revealed. Commentary. Nanak, in this stanza, describes the immense expansion of the soul's horizon when it enters Gyan Khand, or the realm of knowledge. Here, the devotee sees the manifold nature with all created things. Here, he begins to hear the rapturous strains of melodious song resounding through the whole creation. Here, he feels excessive joy at the conception of nature with her immutable laws, her infinity of forms and phenomena, multifarious creations, and manifold blessings that he finds. Stanza 35. Thus much of the realm of Dharma. And now, Gyan Khand, the realm of knowledge. Countless its elements, air, water, and fire. And countless Krishnas and Sivas. And countless the Brahmas fashioning various creations of countless forms and countless hues. Countless the fields of action. Countless the golden mountains and countless the Drus meditating therein. Countless the Indras. Countless the suns and moons and countless the earthly and stellar regions. Countless the Siddhas, the Buddhas, the Naths, and countless the gods and goddesses. Countless the Danus and the sages, and countless the bejeweled oceans. Countless the sources of creation. Countless the harmonies. Countless those that listen unto them. And countless the devotees of the word, endless and unending, O Nanak, this realm. Commentary. From the description of Gyan Khand, or the realm of knowledge, Nanak proceeds to describe Sarm Khand, or the realm of ecstasy. Here everything is enchantingly beautiful and marvelously strange, and words are of no consequence. It is here that the soul becomes etherealized by the power of the word, and one gets an insight into the real nature of things. Stanza 36. Divine knowledge illumines all in the realm of knowledge, while divine symphonies play unending music and joy and bliss reign supreme. Next, the realm of ecstasy, where the word is enrapturing. Everything created here is marvelously strange and beyond description. Whoever tries to describe the same must repent his folly. Herein the mind, reason, and understanding are etherealized. The self comes to its own and develops the penetration of the gods and the sages. Commentary. In the realm of grace, man rises above the evanescent charms of the phenomenal world. He sees all nature standing submissively to serve at God's feet. His word purifies the soul of its sins and awakens the latent energies in it. Matter no longer blinds the inner vision. For him, the Lord pervades everywhere, and he is now fully conscious of him. Here one comes face to face with the word in its pure substance, and he now knows himself and his true origin, for he sees himself as of the same substance as God. Finally, the pilgrim soul reaches Satchkhand, or the abode of truth. Here, complete oneness is realized, and it sees all universes functioning according to his will in devout awe and adoration. Even remembrance of such a vision is blissful, but the vision itself is such that no eye has ever seen. The heart cannot conceive, and the tongue cannot describe. Stanza 37. Higher still stands Karmkand, the realm of grace. Here the word is all in all, and nothing else prevails. Here dwell the bravest of the brave, the conquerors of the mind, filled with the love divine. Here dwell devotees with devotion, incomparable as asitas, illumined with beauty ineffable. All hearts filled with God, they live beyond the reach of death and of delusion. Here dwell the bhagats or sages drawn from all regions, who rejoice in the True One and live in perpetual bliss. Satchkhand, or the realm of truth, is the seat of the Formless One. Here he creates all creations, rejoicing in creating. Here are many regions, heavenly systems, and universes, to count which were to count the countless. Here, out of the formless, the heavenly plateau and all else come into form, all destined to move according to his will. He who is blessed with this vision rejoices in its contemplation. But, O Nanak, such is its beauty that to try to describe it is to attempt the impossible. Now, Nanak, before concluding, lists the qualifications required of a devotee before he can succeed on the spiritual path. He sums up these qualifications as six in number. The first of these is chastity of thought, speech, and deed. This is the first prerequisite for the dawn of higher life and is the foundation on which the superstructure of spirituality is raised. Christ has also said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Purity is verily the key that unlocks the door of meditation leading to the mansion of the Lord. Secondly, one must develop patience, which enables one to bear cheerfully whatever may befall. Thirdly, one must have control over one's thoughts and cast away all desires to ensure equilibrium of mind. Fourthly, steady daily practice of and holding communion with the Word with full faith in one's Master. And fifth, one should live in the devout awe of his presence, stimulating one to untiring effort to achieve ultimate union with him. And overall, one must love him with an intensity that burns up all impurities and blazes the way to his door. Stanza 38. Make chastity your furnace, patience your smithy, the Master's word your anvil, and true knowledge your hammer. Make awe of God your bellows, and with it kindle the fire of austerity. And in the crucible of love, melt the nectar divine. Only in such a mint can man be cast into the Word, but they alone who are favored by him can take unto this path. O Nanak, on whom he looks with grace, he fills with everlasting peace. Commentary. In this finale, Nanak, by way of an epilogue, gives a complete view of life, its nature, its purpose, and its salvation. We are all like children, whom the Mother Earth nourishes. Each one sows the seeds of his actions and reaps the fruit thereof. God's justice is immaculate. They that act well move nearer towards Him. They that do not act well move farther away from Him. They alone who practice the Holy Word will be saved. Not only they, but countless more, their companions and disciples, through their good actions. Finale. Air is the master, water the father, and the earth the mother. Day and night are the two nurses in whose lap the whole world is at play. Our actions, good and evil, will be brought before His court. And by our own deeds shall we move higher or be cast into the depths. Those who have communed with the Word, their toil shall end, and their faces shall flame with glory. Not only shall they have salvation, O Nanak, but many more shall find freedom with them. Here all the living beings are likened to children. The water, for example sperm, is the father, giving them life. The earth, like a mother, affords them nourishment. Day supplies them with work and is therefore the male nurse, while the night lulls them to rest as a female nurse. The breath of the true master imparts the divine word, without which a man's soul is dead. And that ends this reading. I finished reading Guru Nanak and His Teachings, a biographical study by Kirpal Singh, and then I followed with stanzas 34 to 38 plus the finale in the Japji. Thank you to our Divine Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 59 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So we have to learn swimming in water. Or on the dry land. We have to be in the world, yet out of it. And to achieve that success is to be self-centered. You follow my point?